So we have covered until now. I'll repeat again these important words from the beginning. Where have all the beings come from? What is the origin of all the beings, from where they have come? Was the question. Straight away, Upanishad introduces Prajapatihi. Prajapatihi is another word, a synonym for Brahmaji or Hiranyagarbha. Now you will remember, you can never forget, Patihi means Lord. Praja means being, living beings. So Lord of all the beings, when you say Prajapatihi, Praja also means progeny. The Lord of progeny means the father of all the beings, Prajapatihi. So Prajapatihi is a synonym of the word Brahma, not Brahma. As Vedanta students, you should remember very clearly, Brahma, Param Brahma, means absolute reality, consciousness. Whereas Brahma is a synonym of the word Prajapatihi. Another word which are used to is Hiranyagarbha. And what is Hiranyagarbha? What is Prajapatihi? What is Brahma? Samashti Sukshma Sharira. Samashti Sukshma Sharira Upahitam Chaitanyam. Samashti Sukshma Sharira Upahitam Chaitanyam. Or you can say subtle manifestation within brackets you can have. So this is Brahma. Brahma created Mithunam. Like a story, you can remember all these things. That's why I didn't give you the month books. But let me finish telling you, then I can read the mantras easy. Mithunam. And what is Mithunam? Mithunam is a pair, a conceptual. A pair consisting of two factors which are mutually dependent, supportive, complementary. So Brahmaji, Prajapatihi, having created Mithunam, and first Mithunam, the names are given Pranaha and Rayi, or you can say Rayi, Rayihi and Pranaha. Rayihi and Pranaha, or you can say Pranaha and Rayihi. The two factors. And this Rayi, Rayihi and Pranaha, see I am repeating many times Visarga. You have to hear correctly. Rayihi and Pranaha will produce, will create all other beings. He says that. The next mantra, what we saw, even though this Raihi and Pranaha representing any mutually complementary, supportive, dependent factors, different, distinct or different, essentially, if we analyze in depth, we can arrive at the fact that essentially they are one and the same, Hiranyagarbha. Rayi also has come from Hiranyagarbha. Prana also has come from Hiranyagarbha. Essentially, they are one. Therefore, we can say what? Everything is Pranaha, you can say. Or everything is Rayihi also, we can say. Then all these beings with form and formless. Amurtam, subtle forms, Murtam, gross forms. Or Amurtam, formless things, Murtam, things with forms, all of them are nothing but Pranaha. All of them are Raihi. Why? Because essentially all are Prajapatihi. And there again we say, Amurtam, Pranaha, Murtam, Raihi. Then Loka Srishtihi comes. Two lokas are created, names are given, sun and the moon. What are the names used for sun and the moon? In this Upanishad, so many words are there. In this Upanishad, what are the words mainly used? Adityaha and Chandramaha. Adityaha and Chandramaha are the words used. So here, these two also what now? A mutually complementary pair. And here Adityaha represents Prana, Chandramaha represents Raihi. And we say this Adityaha represents Brahma Lokaha, Chandramaha represents Swarga Lokaha. See, Brahma Loka, I cannot translate it into English. The world of Brahman, no? Brahma Lokaha, Swarga Lokaha. So now we can understand Brahma Lokaha represents what? Adityaha represents Brahma Loka. Adityaha is what? No, Prana. Therefore, Brahma Loka is Prana and Swarga Loka is Raihi. So the one thing is made very clear, all the beings here are nothing but Raihi and Pranaha. Raihi and Pranaha are nothing but Hiranyagarbha, where everything is essentially Hiranyagarbha. That is very clear, made very clear. Then 6th, 7th and 8th, these three mantras, we saw the glory of the Adityaha. I will not repeat that, okay, that you know very well. The 9th mantra, this morning I started. So, Mithuna Srishti is over, Loka Srishti is over. 9th mantra comes what? Kala Srishti. Time, creation of time. So here, of the time, we take an hour, a minute, second, month, fortnight, week, of all of them, we take what is the longest duration of relatively an year. An year, 1 year, consisting of 12 months is relatively a longer period. Therefore, we say that year is also, year is nothing but, what is an year? Year is Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam, Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam, the movement of sun, The sun doesn't move anyway. We understand that. From the northern extreme or the end to the southern extreme, southern end is called Dakshinayanam. Then again, the movement of sun from the southern extreme to the northern, the northern to the southern is Dakshinayanam. Dakshina means south. Uttara means north. So Uttarayanam, north, movement towards the north, northern direction. Then movement in southern direction is Dakshinayanam. So for the sun to move from one end to another end, it takes 6 months. Therefore, totally, it ever know. To move from one end to other end, 6 months, again another end to this end, 6 months, totally it becomes what? 12 months. Because Dakshinayanam is Raihi. Uttarayanam is what represents Pranaha. Just take it that way. Uttarayanam, Pranaha. Dakshinayanam, Raihi. So Raihi, what is Raihi? Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam. What is Pranaha? Uttarayanam. Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam. These two, Raihi and Prana, constitute what? One Hiranyagarbha, isn't it? Whole. Therefore, what is an year? Samvatsaraha. 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 An year is nothing but Prajapatihi. An year is the time factor obtaining in the mouth of an year, nothing but Prajapatihi. Why? Because Dakshinayanam is Raihi, Uttarayanam is Pranaha. These two constitute what? The form, the whole, which is an year, which is Prajapatihi. So having said this, the ninth mantra Upanishad says, Ishtam people, the grihasthas, the householders. Householders, not sannyasis. Householders who are desirous of progeny, who are given to the performance of activities, actions, religious, mundane or sacred or secular activities, in terms of ishtam karma and purtam karma, earn punyam and go to swargaloka, otherwise called chandraloka, through Pitruyanaha or Krishna Gatihi, called Lunar Path or Dark Path. When the punyam gets exhausted, they return, which means the life, the enjoyment of pleasures in Swargaloka is time bound, is not permanent, is not eternal. And the path leading to this Swargalokaha or Chandralokaha is called Pitruyanaha. 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 Why the path into Swargaloka is called Pitruyanaha? Swargaloka is also called Pitrulokaha. I'll repeat it. Chandralokaha, Pitrulokaha, Swargalokaha are synonyms. If you want to know what is Dakshinayanam and the Uttarayanam, you have to go to what now? 8th chapter, Gita. Okay, Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter. who are all the devatas presiding over those two paths, you can understand. Okay, let me tell you. Then in the context I also said, the 10th mantra talks about upasakas, the meditators. Upasakaha means meditators go to, who are given to the practice, strictly given to following this tapas, brahmacharyam, who are shraddha. These three words I mentioned already. Tapas, brahmacharyam and shraddha. So I mentioned the four important words. Tapas, brahmacharyam, shraddha and vidya. They go to this brahmaloka through devayanaha. But there they attain krama muktihi. They do not return. This much I said. That this is the content of the 10th mantra. So what are the important words I mentioned in the 10th mantra? I'll tell you. See, tapas, brahmacharyam, shraddha, vidya, atma. These are the five words you need to know. So in the 10th mantra, the word atma means suryaha or sun. And vidya means meditation. So shraddha, faith in the shastram, the scripture, Veda. Because if you are skeptical, it will never work. You need 100% faith in Veda. Then brahmacharyam, a disciplined life to be strictly followed by any body who wants to live a life enjoined by the Veda. Then tapas. Tapas, I said, austerity, penance means willful self-denial of certain pleasures. I wanted to have second time yogurt rice. I said, no. Third night, 10 o'clock, coffee. Gayatri shop, said no. One coffee in the morning is okay. Third coffee at 11 o'clock in the midnight, said no. So 10th content is over. We have to start the 11th mantra now. See, like how you understood the, already you have seen the Aditya Devata, Adityaha, the sun, in the glory of the sun in the 6th, 7th and 8th. In this 11th mantra also, there we saw Surya Devata Adityaha, the sun, as the Sarvatmakaha. Sarvatmakaha, one who is in the form of, one who is there as the very self of all the beings. Suryaha, sun, is there as the life of all the beings. And here, in this 11th mantra, Surya being the very support of substratum of everything. Sarva Adhishtanatvam. There Sarvatmakatvam. Here Sarva Adhishtanatvam. Sarva Adhishtanatvam. These are not in the books, not in the mantras. When I classify this, I'm giving you these titles. Sarva Adhishthanatvam. Sarva Adhishthanatvam means Adityaha being, or Aditya enjoying the status of being the very substratum of everything, the whole. And actually, the 11th mantra is again Rigveda mantra. Earlier we saw the 8th mantra was the Rigveda mantra in praise of sun, wasn't it? The 11th mantra is also a Rigveda mantra. See, whether you know the value of it or not, I tell you one thing. Thinking of Surya Bhagavan, you know, especially as unfolded, as presented, as glorified in the original Veda mantra, sitting on the bank of Ganga, reading it with Shraddha, really will remove all the problems in your eyes. Satyam. I'm not telling simply. If you have Shraddha, you can feel that. It will really work. Every word, how many times you are hearing the word Adityaha, you are paying attention. Even though Adityaha is sun, we don't know sun all the time, we see sun. But sitting here, you are paying attention to the Aditya Devata. This is, look at it as an upasana, it's a meditation. Not a sitting and closing your eyes, you have to see sun. When you are thinking only of Adityaha, 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 where is your mind? In Aditya. It's a sort of meditation. It's a sort of upasana. Okay. So now, the 11th mantra is also a mantra from Rigveda, which is quoted by this Upanishad, isn't it? In support of the glory of, in support of the greatness of the sun god, Aditya Devata. In order to express the glory of Surya Devata, this Prashna Upanishad present quotes Rig Mantra. Rig Mantra means Rig Veda Mantra. Okay. He says first word, Panchapadam. Panchapadam is the first word you come across in this 11th mantra. Panchapadam, what it is in objective case. What you do? Panchapadaha. Write that way. Panchapadaha is one of the names of the sun. Panchapadaha. See, highly imaginative. You must be able to appreciate poetry also, to appreciate the imagination here. Now, Panchapadaha means one who moves through with the 5 feet. What are the 5 feet? Is, you know, we see here Pancha Ritavaha. Shankara Bhagavatpada says Pancha Ritavaha. The word, I'll repeat slowly, Ritavaha. Ritavaha. Put K ulta is that R. No, that is a vowel R. I-E-U-R. R. That R. Rishihi R. The same R you have to put. Ritavaha. Ritavaha means seasons. What is singular of the word? Rituhu. Rituhu means season. Like summer, winter, season. No? Rituhu means season. Ritavaha seasons. Rituhu, ritavaha. Rituhu season. Ritavaha seasons. Usually in English we have only 4 seasons. Isn't it? How did you make it easy? Yeah, in English we have only 4 seasons. In Sanskrit we have 6 seasons. Yes. No, Coimbatore 6 only. Whatever is in Sanskritam only is in Coimbatore, okay? 6 seasons. ஷட் ரித்தவஹ, ஷட் ரித்தவஹ இன் அவர் விசே. ஓகே, வாட் ஹண்ட் சத்ரித்தவஹ, ஐ டெல் யூ ரைட் இன் சம்ஸ்கிருதம் சீசன்ஸ். ஓகே, வசந்தஹ, யூ ஸ்டார்ட் வித் வசந்தா, வி ஆல் லைக் வசந்தா. வசந்தஹ, see, we personify this spring season also. Amazing, you know that? Vasanta and Manmatha, the desire and spring season are probably two men, very close friends. In Kumar Sambhavam, Kalidasa presents like that. Anyway, I don't want to get to the Kavyam and all. You stop in Vedanta. Okay. So, Vasantaha, spring season. Vasanta Rituhu, spring season. Then Grishma Rutuhu, Grishmaha, 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 summer. Spring, summer. Then, let me take my own, so let me repeat it again, so I won't be fast again. Vasantaha, finished? Vasantaha, spring. Grishmaha, summer. Varshaha, third one, Varshaha. Varsharutuhu, Varshaha. Varshaha, monsoon, rainy season. Actually, now we are in autumn season. Sharad, Sharad Kalaha, Sharad Rituh. So we will be Sharad Chandrika, means what? The moon in autumnal moon, is it, will be in Badrinath, hopefully, Bhagavan's grace. Okay, Sharad, Sharad Rituh, Sharad Kalaha, Sharad, Sharad means autumn, Sharad Rituh, autumn season. Sharad, these are all not in the Upanishad. Upanishad only one word, what is Panchapadam. Okay, to explain it, Panchapadam, I make you notes like now. Sharad Rituhu. Even Shankara Bhagavatpada says only Pancharitava, he stopped. Okay, I give what the five reasons are. Sharad. Then, Hemantaha, Hemanta Rituhu. Early winter or pre-winter. Munpanikalam, Tamil if you want, Munpanikalam. Pre-winter, early winter is what? Hemantarutuhu. You see dew and all. Actually in India it is autumn. In London, I don't know how it is called. Okay. Hemant Rituhu. Then, proper winter we have. Shishira Rituhu. Shishiraha. Shishiraha. I'll repeat again all the six seasons. You can correct it. Vasantaha. Grishmaha. Varshaha. Sharad. Hemantaha. Shishiraha, spring, summer, monsoon, rainy season, autumn, then early, pre-winter, then winter. So here of the six seasons, it is the winter to Hemantaha and this Shishiraha are taken to be one. So five. The Munmanikalam, Pinmanikalam, and the Onna Panikalam. The early winter and the winter, make it as one winter season, winter. So five. It's okay? And these five seasons, five rithus are called Pancha Ritavaha. And the sun moving through this what now, five seasons. These five ruthus are looked upon as the 5 feet of the sun. It's called Panchapadaha. As though these 5 seasons are like the 5 feet of the Lord Sun. He's moving through what? Through these 5 seasons, isn't it? Because of his very presence, all the seasonal changes are happening. All the seasonal changes are happening because of the sun. The seasons move. Therefore, what we call the word, we look at these 5 seasons as the 5 feet of the Lord Sun. So he is called Panchapadaha. Shankar Bhagavatpada says, don't need to write it down, don't get confused. Panchatavaha Padaha Iva Asya. Beautiful. Okay. Next. Pitaram. Next word is Pitaram. Panchapadaha you have learnt, no? Is it clear? Clear or not? Should repeat again? Panchapadaha? Okay. Next word is Pitaram in the mantra. And you have to write as Pita. See why son Aditya is the Pita, father of all the beings. How he becomes the father of all the beings? See, for any beings to come into existence, you know, essentially food. Food is the cause of all the beings. Therefore he is Pita. Shankar Bhagavatpada says, you can write down if you want. Janayitru. Janayitru. One who causes the birth of all the beings. One who is the source of the birth of all the beings. Janayitru. For Pita. Janayitru. 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 Janayita. Otherwise you can say Janayita. One who causes the birth. Janayita means Janayita or Janayitru means one who causes the birth. Any father is called Janayita. Okay, Pita. So you have to think a lot to see son as the ultimate father. It will all help you to become objective. You know why? What am I here? A being means what? What is this physical body? Isn't it? The whole, all the different layers of personality here. Physical, physiological, emotional, intellectual. Isn't it? All these different layers of personality. All what? Modified form of food. Food only. And what is food? Food is nothing but plant. What is plant? Isn't it? Plant is nothing but modified form of the solar energy. Therefore, ultimately what? Everything is? Basically you say Pita. That's why, that is why one who causes the birth. We are going to see elaborately later. Okay. So Panchapadaha Pita, you have learned two names. The third name of the sun. Dvadasha, third word. Dvadasha Akritihi. Dvadasha Akritihi. Dvadasha Akritihi. Dvadasha. Dvadasha, dva, 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 dasha, dasa, dvadasha, akritihi, 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 dvadasha. For me, I'm memorizing the Upanishad. Nice only. I'm very happy. It may be, I don't know how. I don't remember, it's all in the Buddhi anyway. So dvadasha akritihi. Dvadasha akritihi. You go and take and listen to any Prashna Upanishad class, you cannot learn better than this. I can promise this here. Dvadasha akritihi. See, in every month, there is different, the 12-fold manifestations of sun. Slight changes you can see. In winter, how the sun is. In summer, how the sun is. In spring, how the sun is. You can see very well in London. Sun, where does the sun go? He doesn't go anywhere. But how we see in winter, where does he go and hide? He is still there. Winter different, isn't it? In every season, in every month, there's a slight difference in manifestation, appearance. That's why in 12 months, you have to be very sharp and subtle to appreciate the subtle difference in manifestation, appearance of sun. How he is in the month of January, how he is in February, how he is in March. And we can say Chaitra, Vaishakha. Okay, we have to see that in every month how he is. We have to try to see that. Therefore, he is called Dvadashakritihi, one who is of 12-fold, 12 different, slight different appearances, or 12-fold manifestations. Dvadashakritihi. See, I'll tell you, even in every day, early morning, rising sun, if you read Rudram, you'll come across these names. Rising sun, Arunaha, called Arunodayam. Rising sun, orange, deep orange color. Have you ever seen that? I think I should take you definitely one day. We'll get up, when you get over this tiredness, I'll take you to this Kunjapuri and we to see sunrise. Early morning sunrise, Arunodaya. No? Tawny. Is it tawny color, isn't it? Tawny. We say the deep orange, reddish color, Arunaha. And later on, we can say Pingala. Light golden color. Pingalaha. We have so many. Then Prachandaha, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you know, blazing sun. You can see the difference, isn't it? Like that, 12 different, in every month also you can see the difference, like that. You see, the sun you see at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock is different from 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Complete different from the rising sun. So, Uday Arunaha, Pingalaha, Prachandaha. Again, setting sun is slightly different. You hear the difference like this? We have the 12-fold manifestations in 12 different months. He is called what? One who is of 12-fold manifestations, appearances. We say what? Dvadashakritihi. Got it? Okay. You may think, is it very important for me to know all these things? Yes. You know why? Sitting on the bank of Ganga, and you are thinking of Surya Bhagavan. Really you are paying attention to that. So Panchapadaha, you can say along with me so that you will be active also. Panchapadaha Pita Dvadashakritihi. Okay. Now Divaha Pare Ardhe. Next word comes that you can simply say one who is beyond the Bhuvarloka. The meaning, you can write the meaning. One who is the Surya Loka is beyond the Bhuvarloka, isn't it? Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka, we say, isn't it? The one who is beyond the Bhuvarloka.
Say
Divaha pare ardhe. See, actually, which means Divaha pare ardhe is not the name of the sun. Divaha pare ardhe is not the name of the sun. It only tells you the sun, the one who is beyond the Bhuvarloka. The word Divaha there, I tell you, Divaha pare ardhe. Have you written? Divaha pare ardhe. There, the word Divaha means, the one, Divaha means beyond the Bhuvarloka. Divaha here stands for Bhuvarloka. Bhuvarloka means intermediary space. Intermediary space. I tell you, Bhuvaha means intermediary space. See, there's a between intermediary space between Swargaloka and Bhuloka, isn't it? So, intermediary space. So, here we say Divaha Pare Ardhe means the sun who is the one who is beyond the Bhuvarloka. That's the meaning. One who is beyond the Bhuvarloka, one who is in the highest of the Surya Loka, which is the highest of the lokas. One who is in the highest of the lokas, one who is in the form of the highest of the lokas. The next word is Purishinam. Purishinam is the word you come across in the mantra. Purishinam. Purishinam. You say along with me better. Purishinam. It's the word you come across in the mantra. What is the name of the sun there? Purishi. Purishi. Like you learned the word Posha. No? Here you are learning the word Purishi. Name of the, one of the names of the sun is what? Purishi. Purishi means actually the one who is filled with the water. The one who is filled with the water. Purishi. Neer niramba petravan. Purishi means neer niramba petravan. The one who is filled with the water. The one who is filled with the water. You may have the doubt. Sun is hot, brilliant, blazing, heat. How can you say sun is filled with the water? Because I tell you, without sun you will never have the water. Okay, the oceanic water has to evaporate, means sun must be there. For the condensation to happen, sun must be there. For the clouds to be formed, sun must be there. The water, again, for the clouds to come as rains, we need sun. I tell you, we take sun for granted. You know, that is why Suryaha, Pratyaksha, Devata, all the Hindus, I tell you, in the whole of India, whether you do any namaskaram or not, early morning, once you come out home, you cannot miss any direction you see, turn, you cannot miss Surya Devata. So, Surya Namaskara, if you do, I tell you, Suryaha stands for Mahavishnu. Suryaha stands for Brahma, Hiranyagarbha. Suryaha stands for Antaryamishwaraha. Suryaha stands for all the powers. Suryaha stands for all energy. For us, you cannot see any other devata directly to your physical eyes. Suryaha is Pratyaksha Devata, we say. And because we never pay really attention. You know, science study is different. That gives us some knowledge. But do we have any, has ever science helped you to develop reverence for anything here? But Veda Shastram helps you have reverence for every phenomenon by calling it a devata. Have you noticed? Have you ever learnt it? There's no reverence there, isn't it? In science, you only understand, there's no reverence. Here you see, feel it. You have to see the fact and naturally become, you have reverence. develop reverence for everything. Surya Devata, isn't it? That's why we say here, Purishi means one who is filled with the water. And not only that, thereby what happens? You also can say, Ritu Karta. Okay, let us come later on. Purishi, one who is filled with water. I explain to you why, how. You know, this is a source of rains. So indirectly, sun is the cause for us to get rains, for everything to happen. One who is filled with water. So, some people, the mantra says, some people praise sun Adityaha, the Surya Devata, in this manner. What does it say? Panchapadaha. Pita, Dvadasha Kritihi, Divav Pare Ardhe, Purishi. In this manner, people glorify the sun god. Now, some other people, how do they say? Next line, also say, some other people say, Vichakshanam, Vichakshanaha. Next word is vichakshanaha. Vichakshanaha. Say, you please say vichakshanaha. Vichakshanaha. Vichakshana visarga. Vichakshanaha. I'll try to get the board for the next class, don't worry. Vichakshanaha. V-V-I. C-H-A-K-S-H-A Vichakshanaha.
Aspiratica.
Vichakshanaha. Yeah, chakra, cha. Vichakshana. It's all Sanskrit class, Ipinji. Vichakshana visarga. Vichakshanaha. See, vichakshanaha. See, the one who actually all illumining, all knowing. All illumining, all knowing. Omniscient. Vichakshanaha also means omniscient. A wise person is also called Vichakshanaha. The one who is of distortion-free, clear vision of the truth. One who sees what is clearly. It's also called Vichakshanaha. But here, all illumining. Anything which shines, it must shine where? Only in sunlight. Isn't it? Any color, any form, any shape, anything shines where? Everything and anything which the eyes perceive, they shine only in the light. If there is no light, even if your eyes are very clear eyes, do you think you can see them? Objects which remain covered in darkness will be as good as unknown. Therefore, all illumining is what? All knowing, all illumining is Vichakshanaha. Ellavattiyum ulirai seigindravan. Minus sun, we'll know what it is. For the night time, sometimes there's no power. Isn't how much activity we should have for the whole day to have sun like this? Amazing. Vichakshanaha. Then Sapta Chakraha. No, Sapta Chakraha. Sapta Chakraha means, chakra means the wheel, isn't it? Wheel. See, seven horses are looked upon as the seven wheels of the sun's chariot. And the seven wheels are nothing but seven colors, vibhigya. Seven colors. See, one who has the seven colors as the seven wheels of the chariot, or the seven horses. So, Vibhyar, you know what are seven colors. I don't need to tell you. Okay. Then, next is Shadaraha. 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 Shadara. 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 Shadaraha. Now I'll tell you. I spit the word now. Shut. Shut. Not this shut. Sanskritam shut, okay? Shut six. Shut six. Araha. The word araha you came across in Mundaka Upanishad. I don't know whether you remember or not. Shut means six. Araha means araha, the rod. You know, the rod which really connects the hub and this rim of the wheel. Huh? Spoke, yeah. The rod which connects. You know, in a wheel, there's an outside rim and a central hub. The rod which connects the central hub and the outside rim is called spoke, isn't it?
Yeah.
The spoke is called an araha. So now, here the six, again six have come now. The six seasons are looked upon as the six spokes of the Kala Chakra, time wheel. No? The wheel of time. The wheel of time connected to the hub of sun. The wheel of time connected to the hub of sun. How? Through the spokes of seasons. Six spokes of seasons. Got it? Too imaginative. Doesn't matter. Now, only the simple class, kindergarten class you are doing. So, where is this Shadara? Shadaraha means the one who has six seasons as the six spokes connecting the rim of the Kala Chakra, isn't it? The hub of the sun. Is it clear now? Shadaraha. So what he says, Sapta Chakre Shadaraha. He, one who has his seven colors as the seven horses, and wherein all the six seasons are like the spokes. So we can say, this, what it implied by this word Shadaraha is Ritukarta, maker of seasons. Ritukarta Prabhakaraha. You come across this word in Aditya Hridayam. I'm really happy I decided to do this Upanishad for you. I always omitted this because what Prashna Upanishad? Let me not. But this time I'm really happy. Whether you like it or not, I like it or not, I decided to do it. It's not my decision. Suddenly the thought came, I decided to do it. It's good I'm doing it. Doesn't matter. Definitely I will not have any papam. Whether you hate me or like me, I will have punyam because I'm teaching this. Nice only. I won't have papam.
This place is good for me.
Yeah. No, it's good for everybody. Doesn't matter. We won't be in a hurry. Don't worry. So, Shadaraha understood? Shadaraha? Let us be. So, then Arpitam. Arpitaha. You can say Arpitaha. Arpitaha. Arpitaha means offered. See, the one who has the entire universe, the cosmos offered to. The one to whom the whole universe is offered to. Know why? Everything is the sun, ultimately. There cannot be seasons without the sun. There cannot be time without the sun. There cannot be rains without the sun. There cannot be plants without the sun. There cannot be progeny without the sun. There cannot be beings without the sun. There cannot be life without the sun. There cannot be universe without the sun. All the beings must be there to objectify the universe, for the universe to be there. Therefore, there can't be universe without the sun. Therefore, the whole universe is offered to the sun. Therefore, it means what? Offered to the sun means this expression to say that everything is the sun. Adityaha. See, everything is Brahman, that is understanding is Brahmagyan, that's different. You have to learn to appreciate first subtly. This is also a subtle fact. See, before you're going to see the fact of everything is ultimately pure consciousness, before seeing that subtlest fact, you have to appreciate this subtle fact. This is also a subtle fact. Do you see this one? Everything is Surya. Ultimately, everything is Adityaha, that you are able to see. The subtle fact. You move, but to appreciate the subtle fact, from here go to much subtler fact, from there go to the subtlest, most abstract fact. Got it? Kadasila, you have to go to Nun Unarv. Mala Nupatta Pakun. Idwe subtle. Do you appreciate this fact? This is a subtle fact. Everything is reducible to energy. Physics also says. Matter can be reduced to energy. Energy is interconvertible into what now? Gross matter. Law of interconvertibility of law and matter, it's energy and matter. Appreciate differently, but here this is another way of appreciating it, isn't it? You don't see sun, solar energy to physicalize, but you can see how the energy is converted and into every form, and then everything is that here. You have to see that. Therefore, arpitaha. Arpitaha means the one to whom the entire universe is offered. Means the one who is in the form of everything. So different words are used. See, if I say, listen to me, the word arpitam is very important word. Arpanam. Now this, leave this mantra now. Mantra is over. 11th mantra is over. Understand this word arpanam. Very important. Arpanam. Arpanam means offering. I want, because this comes, arpanam means offering. Samarpanam also means offering. Arpanam, samarpanam means offering. Arpanam, offering. Submitting. Okay, submitting. Offering. Is arpanam. When I say ultimately the wave is water, when I say wave is water, when I say the form and the name wave are resolved in its truth called water. Okay, so resolving the nama and rupa in its truth called water is called, when you say, the wave is offered to the water. Is it clear now? That is the absolute surrender. In the same way, when I say, I offer myself to thee, Pooja Swamiji always says, every day we go and say, sing, Tanu Manu Dhan, I offer you. You know, again, next day, one day you have offered, means finished, it is not yours anymore. Next day you can't offer. Every day we go and sing without understanding the meaning. You have offered yesterday to Bhagavan. Tanu Manu, all I offer my body to you, I offer my mind to you, you offered yesterday. And today it is not yours anymore. How can you go and offer again second time? We sing meaninglessly, so we don't understand the meaning. I offer myself to thee, Lord. I offer my body to you. I offer my prana to you. I offer my mind to you. I offer myself to you means what? I offer myself to you means you can never physically offer. Okay, you offer coconut, take it back. You offer banana, take it back. You offer flowers, take it back. Offer pongal, naivedyam, everything offer and you eat afterwards very well. Prasada. Only change the name. Give the name to Prasada, anything you offer to Bhagavan, you take it back everything. But that's why you can never offer anything to Bhagavan. I offer myself to Bhagavan means what? I resolve my identity with Bhagavan. In the wake of knowledge, I resolve my identity with Bhagavan. I see myself being non-separate from Bhagavan. This is what? Absolutely resolving one's identity with Bhagavan, the Paramatma, losing one's individuality in totality is what? Absolute offering. That's called samarpanam. Absolute surrender. This I taught you many times. And here, when I say Suryaha is, Bhagavan is Arpitaha. Bhagavan is Arpitaha. There's nothing which is not Bhagavan here. Means Bhagavan is the one who is, everything is offered to. Offerable to. Where can you offer? Where can you go and resolve the wave? Where can you go and push the wave into? You can't push physically. Cognitively, you have to resolve the cognitive resolution of name and form wave in the water is what? Then water is samarpitam. Understand? Similarly, the Suryaha is samarpitaha means everything is finally samarpitaha to what? The sun. Why? Everything is ultimately reducible to energy. Materially, within the realm of matter I am talking about. You reduce the whole matter in what? In consciousness ultimately. Reduce everything into, in a relative sense, you offer everything to the sun. Is it clear? Arpitaha. Got it or not? I really see how nice it is. Hope you all see that. With this, the glory of sun in the 11th mantra is over. The two groups of people, some people glorify the Lord as what I said, Panchapadaha, Pita, Dvadashakrutihi, Divaha Pare Ardhe, Purishi, etc. Other group of people say Vichakshanaha, Sapta Chakraha, Sapta Chakre Shadaraha, then Arpitaha. Got the meaning now? Okay. This is the content of the 11th mantra, and please note this 11th mantra, which glorifies again the Surya Devata, Adityaha, is Rigveda Mantraha, presented in Atharva Vediya Upanishad. Is it? Atharvana Veda Upanishad. Okay. So, because of sun, there is a time factor. And how time moves, Kalaha Gachati, January gone, we all went to Manjakudi, spent time with Swamiji, January gone, February gone, March gone, April gone, May gone, June gone, July, August, September 23rd, Swamiji also gone. We'll also be going. We won't like it. One day we'll be going. September gone. Is it? October. We are all here. Next month we'll say October also. We're all Rishikesh gone. kalaha gacchati. How do you understand the time moving? One, because of sun. How does this sun makes its time move? Through the seasons, through the araha. That's why aradwara gacchati, isn't it? Through the spokes of seasons, making the time wheel move. Listen, the wheel of time is moved with the help of what? How do you understand that? With the spokes of seasons. Okay. Now comes the 12th mantra. 12th mantra also, the Kala Srishti continues. See, one Samvatsara was introduced. Afterwards, the 1 year was taken. That year is present as Pajapatihi. Then we saw the Raihi and how Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam are said to be Raihi. No? Uttarayanam is Pranaha, Dakshinayanam is Raihi. It all was said, wasn't it? Got it? Then, a little diversion, we had all the glory of Suryaha and all that. Now again, we are coming back to the Kala. Here, Masaha, Masa, Srishti, month. First we saw year. Now we have Masaha. Masaha, in Tamil also we have the word Masaha. Not Maza, Radniji. Okay, not Maza, it is some mango juice. I know one should like to, that's why I'm reminding you of that. So, it is Masaha, month. Month, Masaha. Here again, Masaha, what is Masaha? A given period of time consisting of 30 days. So, or 4 weeks, you can say. So, this Masaha is Prajapatihi. What is Masaha? Prajapati. How do you say Masaha is Prajapati? Because you see what? Two pakshas there. Every month consists of 2 fortnights. Masaha, a month, consists of 2 fortnights. And what are the 2 fortnights? Dark fortnight, bright fortnight. Krishna Pakshaha, dark fortnight. Shukla Pakshaha, bright fortnight. I'll tell you, Shukla Pakshaha. Shukla Pakshaha. Then, Shukla Pakshaha. Shukla, say? Pakshaha. Krishna Pakshaha. The Shukla Pakshaha, bright fortnight. Krishna Pakshaha, dark fortnight. Why do we say dark fortnight? After full moon, there will be day by day, day gets darker and darker and darker and dark, darker, 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 darkest day is what? New moon. It was a Krishna Paksha, dark fortnight. Then after new moon, day by day, the day becomes bright, 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 slightly bright, brighter, slightly brighter, little more brighter, little more brighter, 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 brightest day comes. Full moon. So it says Shukla Paksha. After new moon until full moon, the fortnight is called bright fortnight, Shukla Pakshaha. After full moon until the new moon, dark fortnight. I'll repeat it. From full moon to new moon, dark fortnight. Krishna Pakshaha. So new moon to full moon. Full moon to new moon, dark fortnight, called Krishna Pakshaha. new moon to full moon, bright fortnight called Shukla Pakshaha. So repeat. So 12th mantra says this. Now Krishna Pakshaha Raihi Shukla Pakshaha Pranaha. Now you can make out. Krishna Pakshaha Raihi, dark fortnight Raihi, bright fortnight Prana. So what is Raihi? Hiranyagarbha. What is Pranaha? Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, what is a month? Hiranyagarbha. Got it? Krishna Pakshaha. No. No. Krishna Pakshaha Raihi. Raihi. Shukla Pakshaha Pranaha. And Pranaha and Raihi, Mithunam. What is the origin? Prajapati. Therefore, what is Masaha? What is a month? Month has two fortnights. Two fortnights constitute Masaha. So, Raihi and Prana constitute Prajapati. Therefore, Masaha is Prajapati. Got it? Okay, now this is also Kala Srishti, and here only one sentence there, mantra is over, okay, only one more sentence, the diversion is there. Now what is the diversion here? See, people who meditate, practice meditation, people who meditate upon this Shukla Pakshaha, as Prajapati. Seeing the Shukla Paksha as Prajapati. Shukla Pakshaha is Pranaha. Prana is Prajapati. Just, we don't need to, I'm not asking to practice meditation. But what is he saying? People who are able to see Shukla Paksha as Prana and Prana as Prajapati, this meditation who practice, all their rituals they perform become more efficacious. People who are given to the practice of meditation upon Shukla Paksha as Prajapati get all their rituals they perform, make the ritual perform, they become more efficacious. I'll tell you one thing. See, Uttarayanam is always considered to be superior to Dakshinayanam. Similarly, Shukla Paksha is considered to be superior to Krishna Paksha. If you perform the puja or any rituals in Krishna Paksha, it is productive, but still phalam will be less itself. You perform the same ritual in Shukla Paksha, it is more efficacious itself. More efficacious, they say. So, if a person practices this Shukla Paksha Upasana, Shukla Paksha as meditates upon Shukla Paksha as Prajapati, then even if he performs rituals in Krishna Paksha, they will be as efficacious as the rituals performed in Shukla Paksha. That's the glory, just simply something says. The rituals performed in Krishna Paksha, which are relatively less efficacious, okay, also will be more efficacious, like the rituals performed in Shukla Paksha. Repeat. The rituals performed in dark fortnight are relatively less efficacious. But the rituals performed in dark fortnight become more efficacious, like the rituals performed in bright fortnight, if a person is given to the practice of Shukla Paksha, practice of meditation upon Shukla Paksha as Prajapati. Which means he only says how meditation makes your karma more efficacious. I tell you one thing, even we are chanting the mantras, Vishnu Sahasranam we are Parayanam we are doing. We are simply chanting, it is a mere karma. But there is a dhyana sloka, if you meditate, just sit quietly, see, meditate upon that Vishnu's form. Mentally, you first become calm, meditate, then you chant, then your chanting will be more effective. Or without meditating, mechanically placing the mind somewhere, mechanically you chant something, it also has some phalam, but it won't be as effective as doing any chanting with meditation. So any karma, any ritual, any activity, even simple day-to-day activities also, when you mechanically do physically, they are less effective. When you do something thoughtfully, first sit, meditate, dwell upon, plan, then you do it, it is more effective, isn't it? Straight away, directly, thoughtlessly doing something is less effective. When you think well, sit, meditate, focus, plan, then you do it, it is more effective. So, any action performed, say a ritual combined with meditation is more effective. A ritual without meditation is less effective. Therefore, to emphasize that fact, Upanishad is saying, the one who is given to this practice of meditation upon Shukla Paksha as Prajapati, for him, his rituals performed in Krishna Paksha also are as effective as the rituals performed in Shukla Paksha. With this, 12th mantra is also over. I want to finish this 16 mantras today. 12th mantra is over. Okay. After this Masa Srishti, again there is diversion. The 13th mantra, some other information is given. Actually, this is not relevant for us, but still I will tell you because it is part of the teaching of the Upanishad. Just take anything when Veda says, we'll take it with reverence. We don't get confused about all those things. Just here an advice is given to a householder. Here most of the people, all of us are vanaprasthis. I am sannyasini and you are all vanaprasthis. There is no grihastha here, I think. Isn't it? Of course, some youngsters are there, but still, you are sannyasi, Rajaji. I'm not even vanaprasthi, okay? I should say, once your children are grown up, you are 20, 25, you are all vanaprasthis only, okay? Shastra doesn't allow. You can't call yourself a grihastha anymore. Household, grihasthaha. Grihasthaha householder. Your next ashrama is vanaprasthashrama. In India, I tell you, who is a vanaprasthi? 55, a man who is 55 is a vanaprasthi. Okay, a woman who is 30 is vanaprasthi. Indian language, 35 all is vanaprasthi. Not 30, okay, say 40. Really? Because in 40, all my classmates became grandmothers, you know that. In India. I'm just telling you, not that. It means, after, see, once your children are grown up, and you are vanaprasthi only. Whether I'm a vanaprasthi or grihastha, that is why in India, this is, the people still think of getting married and looking for another girl. That is not there. See the age finished, prepare mind for Bhagavan, because time is getting, you don't know when we are going to kick up buckets. So before make this life meaningful. That's why. So look at this. So here, in this 13th mantra, an advice is given to a householder. And before that advice, they said, the first comes Dina Srishtihi, creation of the day. The creation of the year was given in mantra number 11. In mantra number 12 was something. No, mantra number 11 was only a Rig mantra. Mantra number 10, we had creation of the year. Mantra number 11 is a Rig mantra, glory of the sun. Mantra number 12, we have creation of the month. Then some extra information was given about how the meditation, the important meditation was emphasized. How meditation makes the karma more efficacious. Now, the 13th mantra, Dina Srishtihi, creation of day. What is a day? The day is a confusing word in any language, isn't it? Day means, it's like when you say, look at the day as day and night. Bright part of the day is also called a day. And 24 hours also is called what? Together constitute the day. So which here, day and night. Here the important words you need to know, the 13th mantra is Ahaha Ahar plus Ratrihi. Aha Ir Ahar. Ahar means day. Ratrihi means night. Ahaha Ahoratram. Ahoratrau. Ahoratraha means what? Ahoratraha means day, night, day and night. Ahoratraha. Say Ahoratraha. Ahoratraha. See, people without knowing the meaning also, in India they use it. Ahoratram mulchitunna. I kept awake day and night means what? Ahoratraha. How do you get this? Day and night. Ahaha. Ahar plus ratrihi is equal to ahoratraha. Day and night. This is what now? This day and night together constitute what? One day. Day and night, bright part of the day, dark part of the 24 hours, together constitute one day, which is called a dinam. Not dhanam, but dinam. Okay? Dinam. Dinam day. Okay? That is why Bhagavan Surya has called Dinakaraha, maker of the day. Dinakaraha, Divakaraha, Bhaskaraha, Sudhakaraha. How many names you want? Anyway, so this Dinam Ahoratraha is too much? Goes above the head?
So, Dinam refers to night, day and night together?
See, yeah, Ahoratraha.
Ahoratraha equals dinam.
Dinam. Dinam means what? Day and night.
Dinam,
Yeah, Dinakaraha day first. That is not here, I'm just simply said. Okay, let me tell you the important word you have to learn from mantra number 13, Ahoratraha. They split separately. Ahar plus Ratrihi. Anything la? Is equal to Ahoratraha, day and night. This is together is what? Day and night together constitute day, one full day, whole. See, without night, day alone does not make the day. Night alone does not make the day. Together form the whole. Therefore, a day consisting of day and night is equal to what? Dinam is Prajapatihi. Hereafter don't need to complain. Day is Prajapatihi, night is Prajapatihi, day and night together for now Prajapatihi, month is Prajapatihi, year is Prajapatihi, ultimately time is Prajapatihi. When two comes, two things constitute what? One whole. Day and night together constitute one whole. Which means the two must be what now? What is Rai, what is Prana? You can make out,
yes,
isn't it?
Is
ah, very good. Ahareva pranaha. Ahareva pramantra says ahaha pranaha. Then ratrihi raihi. Ahaha pranaha ratrihi raihi. These two constitute what? One whole Prajapati. See, prana raihi together what? Prajapati. Prajapati stands for the whole. Got it? Okay. This is Dinasrishti, which is important. This is over. So having talked, only this much is the information regarding the Dinasrishti. Finally we understand what? There is days which are the Rai and the Prana in the form of day and night. You know, constitute 30 days constitute what? One day is Prajapati. All the 30 days constitute what now? Again, month is Prajapati. Again, 12 months constitute what? One year is Prajapati. Ultimately, everything reducible to Prajapati. Time is Prajapati. Kalaha Prajapati. Kala Srishti Karta is what now? The creator of the time factor is Prajapati. Am I fast now? Very fast. Okay. Now, having given this, see, after every small discussion on Srishti, Upanishad goes to diverse. Okay. Now the diversion comes, and in this 13th mantra, after discussing about the creation of the day, and having mentioned about what is Raihi, what is Pranaha, how day is Prana, night is Raihi, and these two constitute one whole day, which is Prajapatihi. Having given this much information, Upanishad diverts and gives an advice to a householder. Suppose what it says is, the conjugal relationship, you know, must be only in the night, not during the daytime. That is the advice. And then the reason it is giving, see, one's energy will be unnecessarily dissipated. The night time, it says, having relation the night actually makes the is like brahmacharyam only. It's like living a life of a brahmachari. Brahmachari is not supposed to, okay. Here a householder having any relationship must be in the night, and that in only then it is like a brahmacharyam. That is the advice given to a householder in this 13th mantra. Okay, then we go to the 14th mantra. Yeah. Somewhat elaborating on it, yes, sir, we're leaving it. Okay, then 14th mantra. Now with this, Kala Srishtihi is over. Then comes the 14th mantra. See, to lead a clean, perfect, you know, proper life, Shastram teaches. Now, Anna Srishtihi comes in the 14th mantra. Until now, we had Kala Srishti is over. The 14th 14th mantra discusses the Anna Srishtihi. There, Annam Vai Prajapatihi. Annam is Prajapatihi. Annam Brahma. Annam Nanindya Tad Vratam. We already learnt, isn't it? Annam Prajapatihi. Food is Brahman. That's why you cannot see, I tell you, in all the, even the, any food, uncooked food also, we should not walk on the food. The people in the temple, sometimes I see in Shiva temple also, Dakshata is fallen, the priest, they have no sense that there's, I feel like, you know, for me, we have to really immediately remove. We should never put our foot on the rice. Dakshata, they spill and they keep on walking on the flowers. You know, nothing we should walk on. Remove it and walk on the plain thing. And rice also, we never waste food. Why? Annam Vai Prajapatihi. Okay, when you say Annam is Prajapatihi, not just the food which is eaten through the mouth, anything which is taken in is food. Whatever goes into your mind through your sense organs also is what? Food. Ahriyate iti annam aharaha. That which is consumed in, taken in is food. So the forms and colors which are perceived through your eyes, which are taken in to your mind is also what? Food. The sound heard from outside, taken in through your ears also what? Food. Isn't it? Food for the thought. Food for the mind. What is smelt is food. What is perceived is food. What is seen is food. What is heard is food. What is tasted is food. What is felt is food. And what is put into the mouth and through the wind, through the, now the food pipe is pushed in, is it? Through your digestive system is also what? Food. Sixfold food. Ahriyate iti aharaha. That which is taken in is food. Food through the senses go to your mind. Food for thought. That is why we should take care of what is going in. Unhealthy food should not be, should not go inside. It will go and pollute and then disturb your mind. It should not be allowed. They say, Bhadram karne vishnuyama devaha, Bhadram pashye maksha bhrajatraha. What goes in through your eyes, what goes in through your ears also must be good food so that it keeps your mind healthy. And not only that, what is going through your, isn't it, going through into your mouth, through the digestive system, that also must be healthy food. That's why sattvic food, take care of your physical health and mental health, you have to take care. You know, the food which is taken in also contributes for the mental makeup also. Eat garlic, you will forget everything I tell you. If you want to develop senility, eat garlic. Eat 1 kilo garlic, 100 grams garlic, you know, 10 days you will forget, ask, where am I? What am I doing? Dulls your mind like anything, satyam. It may be the best medicine for cholesterol. Even if you die early, it doesn't matter. Better than living for hundreds of years, forgetting everything, being a trouble for other people, you know, being a burden for NHS. So, I tell you, that is why anything which has a medicinal value should be consumed very little only. Medicine must be consumed like a medicine, not like, isn't it? Now, what I want to say, that is why sattvic ahara is also important. I'm sorry, that's an extra information I'm giving. But here, Annam Vai Prajapatihi. So, all the food which is eaten, all the objects we are perceived, are all what now? Prajapatihi. We finished now. Anna Srishti, we have brought all the objects also. All the objects perceived also what? Prajapatihi. The food which is taken also is Prajapatihi. Okay, then Upanishad gives So it is Prajapati alone is manifest as all forms of food consumed through senses and through the mouth also. Okay. In the next sentence it says, the important word, next word you have to learn is, so the retas with the seed of life, the seed of beings, all the living beings, the seed of all the living beings is what? The essence of food. Whether it is seed of a tree, a tree of an animal, seed of a human being, the seed of all the living beings, the human seed in the form of sperm, or the seed of a tree, the seed of any animal, any creature, any living being, the seed of all the beings is what? Modified form of food essence. Isn't it?
Did you say
the
word
for the Sanskrit? Retas. Retas. In fact, we have two words I taught you when I taught you some other Upanishad. Shukram and Shonitam. Can I write these two words? Retas is a simple word. The seed of all the living beings, which is nothing, the modified form of essence of the food, here we say retas. But here, Shukram and Shonitam. Shonitam. Shaktisha. Shivasha. Shukram. Shonitam. Shonitam. N. Shukram and Shonitam. Two different names given to the food essence. The seed, this, see, for any being is only born of the mixture, the combination of these two forms of food essence. The food essence, the seed, the modified form of food essence in a male is called Shukram. The modified form of the food essence which contributes for the, the birth of a being is called, in female, is called Shonitam. So, Shukra Shonita Sanyogena Bhuta Srishtihi. I wanted to write this sentence. Let me tell you slowly. Shukra Shonita Shukra Shonita Sanyogena Sanyogena Samyogena. Like Samyoga, but when you say it, should say Sanyoga. Shukra Shonita Sanyogena Bhuta Srishtihi. This is not from the mantra. I am giving you extra information, okay? The mantra says only one small sentence is what? The words you need to know in this is Annam is Prajapatihi. Then from that food alone, Retas. Okay? We say the seed of all the living beings, which is nothing but from the food, essence of the food. And from that alone, all these beings have come into existence. All these beings are born of the modified form of the food essence in the form of seed. Okay. Yeah, you can say now Shukram is Prana. Shonitam is Rai. Sha, palatal. Sha, sha.
Shonitam is also palatal.
Yeah, palatal. Sha. I didn't say sha. Sha. Yeah, sha. Sha. Shukram. Say Shukra. Shonita. Sanyogena. Bhutanam Srishtihi. Or Bhuta Srishtihi. Okay, so creation of all the living beings by the combination of the Shukra and the Shonita. Okay, the food essence, the seed of the birth of beings, you know, which are nothing but modified form of food essence. Now what happened finally from Anna Srishti? Quickly in one sentence he finishes. What is that? Final Praja Srishti. Finished. Now remember the first question. Imaha Prajaha. The first sentence is, he asked the question, Imaha Prajaha Kutaha Prajayante. All these, no? Where are these beings born from? What is the question, the first question? And the answer is completed now. All these beings are born of the essence of modified form of, isn't it? Food. Food. Annam. What is his body? Annam. What is your mind? Annam. What is your seeing? Or annam. If you don't know it's annam, we'll sit here until tomorrow without getting up. Tomorrow morning we'll all say. Then we'll say, what is it? Isn't it? Without eating, if we'll live, stay. Lunch, dinner, we'll skip. And tomorrow we'll know what is annam. Okay? So, the answer is given here. Imaha praja, last sentence, the 14th mantra is Imaha prajaha prajayante. All these innumerable, countless living creatures are born of the seed, which is nothing but modified form of food essence. Is it clear now? Now you can reduce everything into what? Prajapatihi. So all of us are what? Prajapati. Essentially, Prajapati. In spite of the difference in weight, difference in height, difference in complexion, difference in taste, difference in interest, difference in thinking, difference in understanding, difference in views, difference in opinions, difference in perceptions, in spite of all that, all of us are essentially Mithunam. Rai and Pranaha, and as Rai and essentially, ultimately, Hiranyagarbha. The material I am saying. This is also what? An appreciation of another subtle fact. We have to appreciate the subtle fact to be able to appreciate the subtlest fact of the entire matter being one secondless, non-dual reality, the consciousness. Mudhal inga irundhu aarambikkalam. Okay? I want you to see, to make you see this one such small fact of how Upanishad makes you see the grass level, also you are essentially one. See, in Taittiriya Upanishad, when Panchakosha Prakriya is discussed, you are made to see that at every level of layer, you are resolving. First you start Annamaya. See, there cannot be one particular grass body sitting. Annamaya Kosha. Annamaya Kosha is what now? Relative, no? It is inseparable from the entire grass universe. There cannot be one prana. This is not driven from what? Total, subtle manifestation. One mind cannot be there. It is non-separate from the total mind. You have to sit every level. As you resolve the Annamaya as the Anatma, you also understand other fact of what? You see, okay, annamayaha koshaha, this physical body is anatma because it is an object of knowledge. At the same time, you understand this is a modified form of food, you also resolve this body in what? The individual body in total virat. You resolve individual prana in total prana. Resolve the individual sense powers in total prana, total powers. You resolve the individual karmendriyani in total karmendriyani. You resolve your mind in total mind, resolve intellect in total intellect. So samashti, so vyashti prana, vyashti sukshma shariram is resolved in samashti sukshma prapancha. Vyashti sthula shariram is resolved in samashti sthula prapancha. That one cannot exist independently. There cannot be only one wave sitting all alone by itself. No, I can survive myself, you know. I don't care for the whole ocean. It's impossible. Life is interdependent. You're always part of the whole materially. You resolve it simultaneously. Panchakosha Prakriya, I taught this very clearly. I don't know whether you remember this or not. I'm sure I taught very clearly that time. You simultaneously you do both resolution. You negate the body as anatma. As you negate the annamaya as anatma, you resolve it in corresponding total. Resolve individual in corresponding total. Every level you are resolving. So simultaneously the jagat also gets negated as anatma. Then you finally, what cannot be negated is what? Experiencer. The knower. That's why that experiencer which can be negated as an object of knowledge is what? Consciousness. The experiencer is a temporary status attributed to that. That's why not negatable, abadhitam is what? Non-negatable is satyam. Everything which is negated as object is what? Mithya. You saw that. The same way in this Upanishad, it's another way of making you see how everything is essentially one Prajapati. Just taking in, without talking about Sumani, Karna Prapancha and all that, just introduces, immediately straight away introduces Prajapati. Prajapati created Mithunam, which is Prana and Rai. And Prana and Rai is a conceptual wherein, which is a pair consisting of two supportive, interdependent factors, mutually complementary factors. Like that, they make the whole. And here, the Srishti is given beautifully in five different stages, as Mithuna Srishti, then Loka Srishti, Kala Srishti, Anna Srishti, quickly Praja Srishti. He is not for us to analyze, not like how you study biology, physics, chemistry. Here is another way of making you see, because the aim of the Upanishad is not really how really the beings are coming. We are interested in count. That is, that's different study. Aparavidya, biology will help you to understand. Geology, botany, physics, chemistry will help you to understand all the detailed thing. Here, Upanishad's interest is not that. Upanishad's aim is to help you arrive at the absolute truth. First of all, help you see all the time you boast, referring to yourself as I, have you ever questioned what that I is? Do you know which of this is you? Which of this is you? All these many factors constitute this individual here. Which is you? Nails are you, nose is you, head is you, which is you here? And finally, it takes you to that, isn't it? Finally, it makes you like banana, it peel everything, and then finally, like orange, peel everything. And what is there? There's no I. It's not shunyam. You resolve it, I, what? Finally, what is there? You have to resolve it, surrender it. That is what is real surrender. Cognitive surrender. You have to see the fact. So by knowing that, and everything is that. Not just you. There's no you, she or it or hit, that everything is that. Ultimately, this is the aim for which Supreme makes you see, first of all, the gross level itself is so strong here. I am this. You know, gross level itself, you have to see how essentially everything is Rai and Prana. They one thing, they cannot be day alone without the night. There cannot be night without the day. If the day is, for the day to be there, there must be night. For the night to be there, there must be day. Only then they can be there. As a whole, they make one. Isn't it? So Rai and Prana together become what? Prajapati. So we have to say that. So what is a month? Month is a concept, isn't it? What is a month? 2 fortnights. What is a fortnight? 2 weeks. What is a week? 7 days. What's a day? Day and night. If you analyze, feel it, it goes. Therefore, we have to say that's also Prajapati. So time. So space. What is sun? What is moon? What is this world? So why sun is taken here mainly, I tell you one thing. Why to talk about Loka Srishti, why just the sun and moon are mainly taken? Of all the things we know, we highest of the worlds for us, even if we do not know, highest of the worlds is Brahmaloka. So the Suryaha represent, we don't know Brahmaloka. You don't know. Only Shastram talks about Brahmaloka, Swargaloka. Have we ever gone there? We don't know what Brahmaloka is. Only matter for belief, non-verifiable. Matter for belief. Therefore, but Shastram says it is, therefore we do accept. But that Brahmaloka is what symbolized by what? Surya. Why? We are seeing it, sun. And again, you can say, highest of the loka itself is Suryaha. And here we say, you understand this world. This world, can there be something called, what is this Jagat? What are these plants? What are the living beings? What are the living creatures? We include human beings also there. Can there be something called be living beings without food? Can there be food without the plants? Can there be plants without the, you know, water, the elements? Can there be elements? Like that you understand. So everything adjustable to for whether you what? All the lokas are what? Adityaha means everything is arpitaha. Adityaha, when you say, it implies what? Aditya stand. Aditya is includes moon also. Rai and Prana essentially are what? Prajapati. So time, space, everything into Prajapati. What is space? Ishvara. What is time? Bhagavan. Now what are the beings here? What about all other, you know, Annam? So Mithuna Srishti, space and time. Then all, what about other the food? Annam. What are the prajas? What are the living beings, creatures here? Everything is Prajapati. So where have they come from? From Prajapati. So there's no everything. Everything is Prajapati only is there. Not only Prajapati. Only Ishvara, only Bhagavan is here. Okay. The answer is, the first question has been answered. Is it clear now? Have you understood the spirit? At least, what is the spirit behind all the whole teaching? Very good. That is important.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So I understand that the whole idea, of course, is to get an appreciation of the essence of everything sound. But to sort of fully understand, isn't it also important to know how the individuality comes about?
Don't need to know, really. Don't need to understand it, actually.
Because that's part of the whole setup.
No, where is it? You are going to negate the very individual. Hmm? individuality is going to be negated.
I know that, but everything appears as individual, and so there must, something must happen to bring that about.
That's what karma theory is there, na? Karma. Karma, you get karma, na? The karma theory is there, isn't it? The karma, law of karma.
Yeah.
Law of karma, within the, that way nothing is outside of law and order.
But for instance, how do you get like two faces not being the same? That's, you said it was using biology and the rest of it. There must be the whole process of differentiation into individuals and into people thinking they're individuals. Isn't that important to understand that as well?
No, no, you can understand what I'm saying. You have to be very clear here. See, you can understand detailed, you can understand, knowledge is so vast.
Yeah.
You can spend your years and years and a whole lifetime to get one PhD or one postdoctoral fellowship. You can discover, work on it, no problem. But this is definitely it's knowledge, I'm not saying. But here the aim of the Upanishad is to make you appreciate how there is no, so even at this level, you are made to see that that everything is essentially one.
Yeah.
At the grass level also you have to see the oneness of the everything. At the grass level also. This understanding is given to you to make the mind, the grass mind, subtle. For later on, to understand essentially how essentially everything is consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the aim of the Upanishad is not that. This is the aim. Okay, so why this much is enough here?
Yeah.
That is not, that may be useful, but is, I'm not saying that's not required. Here, Upanishad you see as a pramanam. It is a means of knowledge of the truth. Because now you enter knowledge of the truth. Because you know the value of the knowledge of the truth. Because your aim is moksha. Because I want freedom from limitations. And not only that, I thoroughly analyzed, I understood moksha is my choiceless end. I have no choice. If we had choice, all of us had a choice, we would have run away from moksha. Who would break our heads and sit here? We have no choice. Moksha, discovering the freedom from limitations, which is already there as the very nature of the truth, which is myself, my real self. That is my choiceless end, isn't it? That's why I had to discover that. And that discovery of that is in what? Discovering the oneness of the reality. And which means discovering is oneness of the reality means there's no second thing other than the reality. I have to resolve this plurality, it's a mind-boggling fact. I have to resolve this innumerable countless forms and names and this in multiplicity, duality, plurality, I have to resolve it. Cognitively I have to resolve. I need really sharp intellect to appreciate this fact. I need very focused, some abstract fact this is. And this buddhi has to understand, appreciate that fact. And for which has become much subtler. For that is the purpose of the Upanishad. What is the end? What is the means? For that means, it is a means of knowledge. Isn't it? Upanishad study. And to give you that knowledge later on, finally, it has to prepare you. So it whole teaching is given, we may think, oh, what is this all about? It gives you, first of all, dispassion. It makes us understand the limitation of everything here. Second, makes us see, even at this level, everything is essentially one. And apart from that, you have to see the order being involved here. Okay? Order also has to be seen here. That we'll see later on. But this is the thing. But it is not the question whether it's important to understand everything and all. That is a different thing. But it doesn't serve that the context is different here. In this context, what your Upanishad tells you is, I'm not saying you should know or not know. That you can go and study, do any number of riches, no problem. That doesn't help us. See, here, what is the end? The end is moksha, you need jnanam. And for that jnanam, which is the most abstract fact of everything being one secondless non-dual reality. To go for this fact, you start with this appreciating, first of all, the grass level also you see the oneness. You see the non-difference. essentially non-different, but superficially relatively different. Relative differences are unavoidable, but absolutely non-differences we have to see, and we analyze everything. So it's a way of making you see that, that's all. There's not denied that, you can see that. That you can go and study it, no problem. That is useful, but that is not the means here for accomplishing our end. There's no purushartha there. There's no pursuit involved.
Yeah, I understand that is the end, but it also seems that the whole process of whatever it is that brings about apparent individuality and apparent diversity, how does that come about?
That is why we're going to see that we're going to finally say that nothing has come about. It's all manifestation. That is the thing. That is why manifestation is keeping the karma. Relative level, there's a time, space, everything. The karma all is involved.
But how is that an apparent reality? Well, I think that's what it's saying. Because it must, that's universal, isn't it? That people see duality and diversity.
Yeah.
Universal. So that must be part of the whole.
Yeah, part of the whole, yeah. But the apparent means that where does it, what is absolute? See, that where does it exist? That is why the very basic thing is what is absolute, what is relative, and what is satyam, what is mithya. There we don't say relative means it is not non-existent. Relative is mithya, absolute is satyam. That is why the definitions are present given. Anything relative is time-bound. Anything which is not permanent, which comes and goes, is relative. Which is there always permanently is absolute. We have to resolve relative into permanent. And in resolving the relative into permanent, your individuality also will be resolved. You see, that is where you discover your freedom also. Okay, we don't even pay much importance for this.
What I'm talking about is like the process of identification, because
everything is ignorance born. Ignorance. The process of identity, because ignorance is not created, natural. Ignorance is naturally there. That is why the whole teaching.
Isn't it important to understand how that process happens?
Nothing is happening there. Nothing is happening. That's why this whole teaching is different, not like science. It is anything within the realm of matter, you can all go like that. Here it is not, we were going to negate the very matter.
There must be some law operating to make a cat think that they're, to know that they're a cat and nothing else. There must be some law operating there. It's not our
law. There's a spiritual law for other, isn't there?
It is spiritual. It's all spiritual laws. There must be something happening there.
See, the whole thing is, finally, is relatively everything is happening. Relatively, everything is happening. Anything happening is relative. Absolutely nothing is happening. Anything happening, I'm not denying anything happening. So many things are happening. But everything is relative. Absolutely nothing is happening. That is why I said the most abstract fact. Absolutely nothing is happening. That's why in Mandukya class I said the whole jagat is as seeming motion in motionless consciousness. But nothing is happening, really speaking. Anything happening is relative. I'm not saying nothing happening at all, I'm not saying. The happening is not non-existent, not unreal. That's where the very question comes. The happening, if it is happening, is unreal, non-existent, the question need not arise. The happening is real also, okay, then you can't help it. There's no real happening. There's as though happening. Any happening is relative. Any happening is relative. Mithya. That is why that's the problem. Because the happening being mithya has to be understood. The happening for us, happening, therefore it is real for us. We mistake it for reality. Happenings, that is why it is mithya, Shastram says. See, so many things are happening, therefore they're real. Because something is happening, it is Mithya Shastram says. Happening means what? Time involved. Happening means time involved. Anything time involved means beginning. It has beginning and end. Time bound. Relative. What doesn't begin, doesn't end is what? Non-happening. This is absolute, isn't it? That's why what is that? What is the basis for any happening? For something to happen, there must be basis, na? Isn't it? What is the basis? That is the absolute. So then, in the wake of the knowledge of the absolute, resolve the very happening. There's no happening. That is why the very beginning yesterday, when I talked, see, that is why I know this lesson is coming. Initially, I started my first day lesson. I taught my teaching like this. There is an aim of the Upanishad. Uddesha, Upanishad has an Uddesha. There is an aim, the purpose. For what is the purpose we are studying the very Upanishad? Because Upanishad is aiming at giving this vision of whole Jagat, Brahman being the only reality, secondless non-dual reality, and then whole Jagat is Mithya. There is no such thing called individual at all. Every individual is ultimately Brahman. Like every wave is what? Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. This is the vision of the Upanishad. This is what the vision is called Upanishad Uddesha. It's the aim of the Upanishad. Then, for which we had, what is the lakshanas are given? How do you say Brahman is Satyam? What is Brahman? What is Satyam? What is Jiva? What is, Mithya? Everything, every term is what now? It is a method of making you understand everything. What is everything? That is called Lakshanam. Lakshanam. Uddeshaha Lakshanam. Then there is a Pariksha. You don't simply mechanically understand. We analyze repeatedly, see how all these methods used to unfold are non-refutably infallible. We don't mechanically accept here. That is why so much the Vedic wisdom is so strong, because non-refutable. See, either you understand or you don't understand. But it's non-refutably infallible method, lakshanam. It's also presented here. The three factors are involved. The teaching is given in three steps. Uddeshaha, lakshanam, pariksha. And there, we took only the mithya, the concept of mithya. Mithyatvam we took. I took initially mithyatvam. Why? Because the very, now you say, now the happening, something, because it's very, very real. The whole teaching began with mithya. I didn't do such satyam here. This particular Upanishad before, in introduction, it's an introductory lesson. What we need to understand before coming to this point is very serious lesson. Now it sounds simple. Before I came to started this, I said, lakshanam of mithya. Mithyatvam we took. What lakshanam of mithyatvam? What is mithya? You need to understand mithya definitely. Why? Because understanding mithyatvam is as important as understanding satyatvam. Because mithyatvam, that's why you get two definitions. Isn't it? Sadasad, anadhikarana, rupatva, anirvachaneyatvam, mithyatvam. Then I gave another definition. Yan nishtite tad mithya. Gave that also. So in the explanation, mithya means actually it is neither real. If it is real, then you can't change, you can't do anything. It won't change. You have to accept the problem, isn't it? If it is unreal, then you don't need to worry about it. It's not there. A problem, it's unreal problem, need not be solved. Why? It is non-existent. A non-existent problem may not be solved. If it is existent problem, then you have to accept, go through it, can't exchange it. But it's neither real nor unreal. It's as though real. But because it is as though, it is taken for reality. Because we do not know what is absolutely real, isn't it? That's what the whole teaching is all about. So how to see that is mithya? How to see the wave is mithya. Unless and until you see the water, you can never see the wave being mithya. That is why my perception of the snake is non-deniable. So the perception of snake caused fear is non-deniable. The suffering is non-deniable. But how is that? Because I'm perceiving, because I'm suffering, does it mean real? My suffering is the proof for it being real. Your whole suffering is unnecessary. So I cannot drive away the snake. I need not drive away the snake. There's no snake, really speaking. In my perception, there's a snake, isn't it? So why there's a perception of snake? Because lack of vision of this rope. Why don't you see? That is, you don't see. The ignorance has no beginning. Ignorance has no beginning. If ignorance has beginning, then you can say, oh, ignorance came this particular day, and one day he can be pushed out. The problem is, because ignorance also has no beginning, that is the problem. Anything which has a beginning, you watch. You are coming, I can say, I can push you out. But you don't know, ignorance doesn't come, it's already there. See, to be frank, the human mind is the most beautiful one, most highly efficacious. The is the only one thing which is capable of arriving at the truth. Then you see there's no ignorance also. Really speak, ignorance itself is mithya. Can you believe? Ignorance itself is mithya. Ignorance also is not there, really speaking. Finally you say there's no ignorance. When you discover the rope, there's no snake. In the same way, there's no ignorance also. That's what is going to arrive at. That's why this teaching, you see, what is to be understood, what is being unfolded in the Shastram, happens to be subtlest subject matter. That is why so many times repeated, Taittiriya Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, now Prana Prashna Upanishad, we are going into Chandogya Upanishad. Every Upanishad teaches the same thing. But how there's a growing, always clarity is enhancing. But not immediately, isn't it? You can't have immediate. The only way is, that's why the mind has to be very focused, clean, subtle and all that. Okay. Oh, we have to go for lunch now. Come. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.